Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today here in Pittsburgh, where feedback is the name of the game. I get to hear myself 2 seconds after it's on. I can evaluate myself. Well, great to have you with us on the show today. We're in Pittsburgh, where Penn State plays basketball tonight against Duquesne at Sid's House, PPG Paints Arena. 7 o'clock tonight is that game. And then after the game's over, we fly to Alabama. And tomorrow on the show, the play-by-play voice of Alabama football will join us. Eli Gold. I was in Tuscaloosa. Might as well fit in. Sean, how are you today?
We're doing great, sir. Heading downhill to the weekend, and Penn State football fans, the diehards, they really look forward to days like today. I know we're going to be going very heavy with the future of Penn State football since it is early signing day today.
We will. If you could help me out, though, on the delay here on my end, can be a little disconcerting. Yeah, I'll live with it for the next 2 hours, but if we can correct it, that'd be great. Just hit it on the side. That's all you have to do.
The last time I did that, you were surprised that I did that on the fly. He actually did it.
Well, it's not like I'm sitting here with the suit where it got worse. Then I'd be genuine, like, whoa. Hey, about that? But today we have Greg Pickle, PennLive.com, Patriot News. We'll also have Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, Rivals.com, and Nate Bauer from Blue White Illustrated on the show today. So it's not a bad lineup at all. And they'll all be, you know, I'll talk a little bit with Nate about basketball because Nate also covers basketball. But, I mean, this is all, there we go. Nah, that's not it. Is that it? That's it. You've done it.
We good?
Yeah, well done.
Great.
Oh, it's terrific. I told you if you hit it on the side. See, you don't take my advice right away.
It's been 2.5 years. I should know by now.
I mean, you got to take my advice on this stuff. No, it's but the signing day worked out well. Penn State got 18 guys. They have fewer commits than any of the schools in the top 16. Yet right now in Rivals, they're ranked 10th. And the door can be open to what they do in the late signing period to then move up even a couple more notches. But they've done very well here. And it got rolling this morning with Keaton Ellis of State College being the first player in. And, of course, what I get a kick out of when it comes to that was that I sort of watched him grow up. Because that's Bruce Ellis and Deb Schaefer's son. So, they went out and... Then the one at the end, you know, they got a Devin Ford. They got a Brandon Smith. They got a Joey Porter Jr., Salim Wormley. You can go on and on with the names they got today. Brenton Strange, the tight end. And then the one that everybody was waiting for was to see what Noah Cain would do. And Noah Cain at the end stepped up and said that he's going to go to Penn State as well. I like the confidence of both Devin Ford and Noah Cain. They're both going to come in. They got two quarterbacks, Roberson and Michael Johnson Jr. That's why at the end of the, halfway through the football banquet, And James said, hey, you're doing a great job making this move. He says, I'm thrilled about that. I said, good. He says, because Ricky and I have to go to Oregon tonight. It's like, all right. I knew what the deal was there. So, but they signed the class. Got it done. It's 18 guys signed today. And we'll be talking extensively and getting the full breakdown on the 18 guys from Greg, Ryan, and Nate. Here in Pittsburgh, they're all excited about the Steelers. They now feel they've won the Super Bowl. These are your people, Sean.
I wouldn't go that far.
No. They're, according to these people, they're in.
I just think there's too much of a comparison to 2005, 2006, when they had that surge in December. They had that day in the snow when they beat the Chicago Bears, and then after that they ran the table. I think they're kind of leaning toward that to happen again. Then they can be the sixth seed in the road, the sixth seed in the Road Warriors, like they did back then.
I think the fans would like a home game.
Yes.
Just so you know, I think they'd like a home game.
The funny part out of all this, if they end up a six, they could end up going to New England for a game. But of
Great.
Course, they could end up going to the Patriots. That could be a first round game. But that is if the Patriots lose out and don't get a bye.
But let's start with this part. The Steelers will know before they play what the deal is in their own division with Baltimore, because the Ravens are going to play the Chargers on Saturday.
It'll be a great game.
I can tell you right now, this guy right here, okay, sitting right. When's the last day I had off? Was it July 31? Does that sound right? So I haven't been off. I mean, because there's certain things, obviously, things I do outside of here too. You know, for example, like, oh, you had to have Labor Day off. No, on Labor Day, I had a baseball game. Well, you had to have Thanksgiving off. Well, no, I was traveling back from Cancun and got back at 11 o'clock at night on Thanksgiving. So, to me, those are work days, okay?
Well, also, you count work day. Even if there's a day where you're not doing a live show, there's days where you're prepping for a future basketball opponent or doing some extra football prep. And, I mean, that counts as work time.
Well, I go to practice every Sunday, and I also prep my charts every Sunday. So I can tell you right now, on Saturday, when it comes to the Chargers and the Ravens, I will be sitting in a chair with my feet up and watching. I'm going to enjoy it very much. I'll take a long, nice little break, little hiatus for about 4 or 5 days.
Can you imagine if the Chargers get to host a playoff game in the comfy confines of?
Well, they've got to win the division to do that, though.
That's true.
Okay, and right now Kansas City has the tiebreaker. Now it doesn't mean the Chargers can't beat the Ravens and the Seahawks beat the Chiefs. Okay, if that happens, they're in first place, just on record. If they stay tied with Kansas City, then they're the wild card they can host. See, that's the key with the Steelers. You're talking about being a six seed. Well, right now they're the division leader, so they can't be a six seed. That's why they'll know what they have to do with New Orleans. If the Chargers were to win over the Ravens, or vice versa, if the Ravens win, they know what they have to do when they play New Orleans. Let's see. I thought of the suit today.
Suit no longer undefeated in our bowl picks.
Yeah. I mean,
finally stubbed his toe last night.
Yeah, I know. I think only one person picked that game right. I wonder who that person was.
Actually, the three of us had UAB last night. Suit was the
Did you?
Yeah. Suit was the only one that picked Northern Illinois. Now tonight, I chose the Ohio tonight, the Bobcats. So
right,
and everybody else.
Yeah, the rest of us picked San Diego State. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that result because I'm doing a game and we're going right to the airport. There'll be no like, hey, let's go back and watch the second half. No, that will not be happening. What time is it now? 3:20. 3:20 in the afternoon, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
12 hours from now, I'll be in a bed in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, sound asleep. You know, I thought of the suit today. There was a car accident outside the arena.
I'm going to say train wreck. Wait.
Look, a derailment. Look at that. What does that remind you of? It reminds me of Les Suits. Look, there are cars everywhere. Missy Franklin retired today. The 5-time Olympic gold medalist. It's only 23. Imagine retiring at 23. See, that's what reminded me, because, I mean, the suit essentially mentally retired at 23, didn't he?
Maybe.
It took me a long time to say the words, "I am retiring," Franklin said. A long, long time, but now I'm ready. I'm ready to not be in pain every day. I mean, this is tough. I mean, look, in London, she was 17. I think the suit predicted she'd win a billion medals, the usual caught up in the emotion suit thing, you know, that always happens with every Olympian. It's the biggest star in the world. Okay, great. Okay, Missy Franklin, Tom Brady in a parade. Who do you recognize? All right. but, yeah, I mean, that's the part. I'm ready. She said, "I'm ready to not be in pain every day." That tells you a lot. Number two, "I'm ready to become a wife, one day a mother. I'm ready to continue growing each and every day to be the best person and role model I can be. I'm ready for the rest of my life." Good for her. You know what? She had great success. And then, you know, trying to come back from injuries and things like that. You know, can't blame her at all. Then there's Matt Painter. Okay, I want to the Matt Painter one. I got to do this one when we come back from the break. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Did you see Mark Hall pull a major, major upset? He became the first Penn State wrestler to be named Wrestler of the Week of the Big Ten. They can pick anybody in that team any week. And so far this season, not one Penn State guy has won. Really? sell your sport, man. Sell your sport.
You got to go with Mark Hall for sure with that terrific 4-0 win over Valencia last Friday night.
They've done all this spread the wealth stuff. This guy here, this guy there. No Penn State guys. Look, sell your sport. All right? Get the big names on your Wrestler of the Week thing. Matt Painter. They lost to Notre Dame 88-80. Matt Painter, to me, is one of the really good guys out there. And when he speaks matter of fact. He is not a guy that pounds the podium, yells and screams, never does any of that. He's just very matter of fact. And I think it makes him, when he decides to deliver a message, more powerful. So he says this after the Notre Dame game. Now remember, they've gone from having several seniors on that team to some of the younger players. And that does change your locker room. It changes your bench. There's no getting around it. That's why when you hear me talk about how each team has its own personality, that's a big part of it. And that's why you look at National Letter of Intent Day for college football today, the early signing period. Those 18 are going to come in, and you're going to have seniors or those going to the NFL early departing. It does change the dynamic, and sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse, of what your locker room and your culture happens to be. It's where James Franklin, I think, does a great job in his recruiting of trying to get not just really, really great football players, but great culture fits. So this is what Painter said, and this is after he lost to Notre Dame. He was talking about young players. And he said, "You have to get over yourself. That's a real hard thing to do. In high school basketball, you know how many points you have in your head. It's a selfish thing, but it's also a very natural thing because your whole life you've equated playing well to scoring. Then as you grow in college and you get in there, you have to normally play a role before you can be a major guy. And sometimes you never get out of that role, and you're always a role player. You have to be able to give yourself to the team to get over those types of things. You're not going to get on this team if you can just shoot well. And that has to be able to do something to help us. We need everybody to be able to defend. We need everybody to be able to do the other things, the little things. And right now, we're not very good at that. Says you've got to be able to get over yourself and sacrifice. When you look over there and you see guys cheering and giving energy, you're normally going to go into the game and play better. Those guys that are sitting there being duds and not cheering for their teammate, when you go in there, what you're thinking about is, I should be in there. And then when you get the opportunity, you don't play well. It's really a maturation process. And you're always going to have a guy or two in your team that way. You just are. That doesn't change when you're dealing with the 19 to 22-year-olds, but you can't have a lot of them. It says, we have a lot of good guys on our team, but we also have too many people who are searching for answers through their jump shot. You have to search for answers through rebounding, defending, and doing the little things, really scrapping and competing. And again, you know, that's what he's talking about. I think it's a powerful statement that he made that you know, people will ask me, well, what are you looking for example, in, you know, when you watch a practice? You know, for one thing, I'm looking at guys, young players, that for the first time in their lives on an everyday basis are facing comparable talent. Now, some of them go out there and excel right away. A guy like Micah Parsons, for example. Now, it took Micah a little bit of work in the spring to go to a position he had not played before. But you can see the results of how he played in the season. And I think that tells you a lot about him and his growth and maturation. Now, there are also going to be others along the way where it takes them longer. How often have you heard me, Sean, talk about everybody being on their own clock? All these guys have been stars at their respective schools. Sometimes it just takes a little bit longer. And then suddenly, you know, the last couple of years, they emerge, they develop, they play. And they play big roles. Some guys are role players their entire career, but they found a way to make the team better. That's maturation. All right, next half hour, we'll talk with Nate Bauer of Blue White Illustrated, then Ryan Snyder.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
It's holiday time, and there's only one place you need to go. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Sunbury. Brewers Outlet has all of your holiday party needs. Soda, snacks, lottery tickets, the pickle bar, and of course, beer. The area's largest selection of imports, specialties, microbrews, and many of your favorite domestics. This week's specials, Bud and Bud Light 18-pack cans, just $10.88. That's $3.63 a six-pack. And Labatt 28-pack bottles, $18.95. And the ultimate holiday present, a Brewers Outlet gift card. Merry Christmas from Brewers Outlet, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. On the show, and
This is National Letter of Intent Day, the early signing period. First of two, by the way. Other one being, of course, the first Wednesday of February. Penn State with 18 signing today. Many say it's a top 10 recruiting class again. Nate Bauer joins us from Blue White Illustrated. Nate, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Steve, tell me that Liberty Bowl thing was just off the cuff. You just know that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know he was going to say it.
You're killing me. Your wealth of knowledge is humbling. I'm embarrassed already.
Well, I think it makes for a more entertaining show. So what the heck? So I had no idea he was going to say it. So, but I mean, that was the story. Was it Rip called Bobby Dot?
Too much time with Lou Prado.
I don't even think I talked to Lou about that. I got that story from Joe. Because Joe's the assistant coach at the time. You know, he's the offensive coordinator. Before we get to the football part, I want to get to the basketball part because you follow it about as intently as anybody out there. They got Duquesne coming up tonight. What are you seeing pro and con with this 10 games? Because obviously there is some talent there.
I'll be honest with you. I'm stunned that you're asking me about this, but I'm so happy that you are because this is more than National Signing Day. This is hoop season for me. So, it's a team that if you look at the games that they've played this season, they've been in every one, right? I mean, they've played close. They've been within a possession or two. And then, you know, for one reason or another, it seems to happen more often in the second half of games, but they just go into these dry spells where, 3 minutes turns into 5 minutes, maybe 6 minutes, where they can't get a bucket or they can't get to the free throw line. And you saw that happen on Saturday against NC State, and it sent them to their fifth loss of the season. Five on the year, but if you look at their schedule, I think CBS, Jerry Palm, has them as the 13th hardest strength of schedule in the country so far this year, right? So,
yes.
So they're playing an impeccably challenging schedule. You know, I got to wonder if they're not rethinking some of that strategy to put as challenging of a schedule as they did together because they're right there. They don't have a bad loss, and they've got a good win. They've got a great win against Virginia Tech. It's just they really need to maximize these last couple of games of the non-conference before heading into the Big Ten schedule.
Yeah, Steve Lapp has said that to me. He says, Steve, who put this schedule together? I said, Steve. I said, don't look at me. I said, I'm along for the ride. I said, ask the guy who looks in the mirror every morning. He's the one that put it together.
Yeah, no, they knew last year. And I mean, of course this is the way it goes, but last year their non-conference schedule probably kept them out. In a lot of ways, if they had had a couple more opportunities, because obviously they had the Texas A&M game and they had maybe another one, but they lost both, and that was really it. They had
the NC State game last year was the other one.
So they had two decent games last year in the non-con, but they didn't have anybody else. And when you load up on, I'm going to say RPI, but now it's obviously the net. When you load up on those 200 plus teams, you're not going to get any respect. So the funny thing about it is, if you look at them now, even at 5-5, which is a much worse record than they had last year at the same time, their net ranking is 84, 85.
Right. And the KenPom ranking is 45 right now. And, I mean, there's nobody even remotely close record-wise to Penn State except for Florida, which is 29 at 6-4. So, I mean, this is an important week for them. If you can somehow come out with two road wins, that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Especially with an Alabama at the tail end of it.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think that Duquesne or Alabama is – I don't think that we would put them in the top five of the teams that they've played so far, right? I mean, they're not great teams that they're playing, but Alabama, if you get a road win in the SEC, that's going to count for something.
Yes.
You know, one way or another, that's going to count for something. And obviously, Duquesne is a sneaky team. I mean, they can come up and get you. So if they can come out of this, obviously 8-5 would not be too bad. Even 7-6, they're alive, right? They go into the Big Ten schedule with an opportunity to win games because the Big Ten is so good that you get the chances, and it's just what you make them.
All right, so we'll take the surprising part off the table. That's at 7 o'clock tonight. 6:30 will be the airtime, but I wanted to get that in with Nate before we start talking about recruiting again. Now let's transition into the recruiting part. I always look at recruiting, and look, I don't have the depth of knowledge you guys do, but my assumption is that if Penn State's going after them, there's a really, really good reason. So I start looking at what is the positional balance 2-3 years down the line? What will the roster look like? What kind of job did they do today on positional balance with the talent they brought in?
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously they've got a nice blend, right? I mean, I think that the major, people tend to look at what happens next year, right? So people look at, oh, well, Trace McSorley's gone, so you need a quarterback. Well, no, that's really not how it works. It's you're recruiting for 2 and really 3 years down the line. And, I mean, I think that that's the major story of Penn State football today versus even a couple of years ago is that they're recruiting from a fundamental standpoint has changed. They are obviously you're fighting for the best players no matter what you do, but you're also in a position now where you have the luxury, or more of a luxury I should say, than you did in recent years to develop guys. Let the cream rise to the top, Michael Parsons, let those guys play, right? If they're that good and they're a true freshman, okay, you can have that. But if you really look, even within the rules change this year for true freshmen that played, there's really not six kids out of that class,
right?
That was a pretty great class. Have gone over to use their redshirt. They're not going to be able to save a redshirt for those guys. So now you're in a position where, yeah, you can get kids a little bit of experience in that first year, but for the most part, if you look at this class that they just signed today, they got a ton of 4-stars. I mean, that's the overwhelming bulk of it out of 18 kids that were signed. A ton of 4-stars, 1 5-star, 3 3-stars. That sets you up to let the cream rise to the top for next year, but also gives you 2 and 3 years down the line, the core of a program that can help you win.
As you and I know, stereotypes develop about coaches, for example. And a stereotype for James Franklin, which fits perfectly on a day like this, is that he and his staff are great recruiters. And it fits on this particular day. They are great recruiters.
Yep.
Now I want to get to what I perceive as the really underrated part of James Franklin and staff. In my opinion, they're really great at player development, and the
Absolutely.
2016 season shows that. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that. Last year on the Coach's Caravan, they took a hiatus for a year, but they were back last year. Eventually, right? Basically the entire Coach's Caravan was about how James Franklin benchmarked Penn State against other programs. So it was talking about, well, where does Penn State need to make strides in facilities? Where does Penn State need to make strides in retaining coaching staff? Where all of these different areas that we were asking of James Franklin, what does Penn State have to catch up on? And finally, eventually, our colleague and buddy Mike Foreman asked him, what does Penn State do best? Like, what are you the benchmark for other programs? And he loved it. It was a great question because he said player development. That is the area that they take the most pride in, I think, even though it doesn't get a ton of play. We don't talk about it all that much, but it's not a coincidence that they've had the success that they've had over the last few years with the players that have really driven them to that success. Trace McSorley is a phenomenal college football quarterback, but you know, moxie aside, they developed him.
Yes,
you know, he became a better quarterback through the years. Saquon Barkley obviously was an elite talent. I mean, just down the line of those guys who we're going to talk about 5, 10, 15 years from now about this Penn State football program, they were all guys who got better as they you know, went through their Penn State careers. So I think that's a tremendous point, because you know what happens is when you are bringing in 3-star guys and you develop them into, you know, and they've got that grit and that moxie and you know, all those intangibles, and you develop that, you can be competitive. Well, what happens when you bring in a ton of 4- and 5-star guys and they have the same characteristics and you also develop them? You know, I think that the answer is ultimately you're going to find yourself competing for those college football playoff spots. And that's really what it comes down to in this day and age. Is it's not about you know, New Year's Six bowls or anything other than Big Ten championships and competing for a spot. Nobody's going to win the national championship every year like Alabama throughout the rest of the country. I just don't see that happening again. The other program that's out there right now. But if you put yourself into a spot where you can compete and you can get into that playoff conversation, especially if the playoff expands over the next few years, you're gold. I mean, and that's the trajectory that I see for the Penn State football program.
The work is not done. Obviously, they're already working on 20 and 21. We understand that. But the work is not done because there's a late signing period. What are a couple of areas that you think they will concentrate on between now and the first Wednesday of February?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think without getting into the specific players, I think that what you're going to see is, just given the attrition that's happened over the last couple of days, and that can continue to happen depending on what some guys decide for the NFL futures, you're going to see them fill out the class. Excuse me. You know, they're at 18 right now. I don't know if another one's coming or not today, but even if they're at 19, you know, they're probably going to have 23, 24, and maybe even 25 scholarships that they can grant. You know, you never know how things will exactly shake out with the numbers, but certainly I think that today is not the end, regardless of what happens with some of the bigger name players, the guys who you know, might want to wait until February to make that decision.
Yeah, and believe me, those who did not sign today, they are going to have a lot of people surrounding them between now and and the first Wednesday of February. A lot of people surrounding them.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I can't just, and you know, I'm sure we all do it to a certain extent, but putting yourself in the shoes of a 16-year-old, 17-year-old kid, I don't know about you, Steve, but like, I don't have a ton of interactions with high school kids. And when I do, it's jarring, right? I'm 34, and now I'm looking at these kids, and I'm like, you guys, you're on a different planet. And so the pressures and the stresses and the different things that they have on their plates, you know, some of them obviously invited, but at the end of the day, I'm always left with the same takeaway, which is, these guys are kids. They're just kids out there. I mean, it's crazy what this has turned into.
Well, you know, it's really helped me in that area, to be honest with you, Nate, is I'm older, so my children are older.
I've had
5 17-year-olds already.
Yeah.
Who then became 18 and became 19 and became 20. And yeah. I'm extremely proud of all 5 of them. But I know what that part's like. I've lived it.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are younger, so you're how old is your baby now?
She is 6 months old.
I mean, so you're beginning that journey. So yeah, I can relate to 17 and 18-year-olds because I've had them.
Yeah.
And I have a grandchild. I mean, my oldest is going to be 11, so she's only 6 years away from that. So it's not like, you know, that helps me a little bit in terms of that perspective. How about that?
Well, I'll take it because I'm just getting used to being vomited on and changing diapers. That's my headspace right now.
Well, that's the next part of life. Okay, when you're the grandparent.
Well,
they look at you and they say, I think he or she needs to be changed. You're like, hey, you want him? You do it. Grandparents, I don't do that.
Absolutely.
I did my time.
Yeah. Getting used to it. I'm suffering from a head cold today as a direct result. I'm going to blame her on the air here. This little kid, she's worn me down, Steve. I got nothing left. I'm tired.
Well, you know what? You're going to wake up on Christmas Day and you already have the greatest present you could ask for. So,
oh, Steve, I'm blushing.
Huh? You already do. Believe me. It's an unbelievable feeling. It's Nate, true. Thanks so much for the time. It's really great to get you on. It means a lot that you gave us some time today.
Hey, anytime. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated. Next half hour, Ryan Snyder, his take on National Letter of Intent Day, the early signing period as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, a little bit of Citrus Bowl news for you today because one of the top players for the Kentucky defense is out of the game. Senior linebacker Jordan Jones is not going to be eligible to play in the bowl game against Penn State, and Kentucky has confirmed that. There are no additional details. They cited the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. Didn't have a great junior season, but then bounced back this year and played really well this year. 68 tackles, 5.5 tackles for losses, couple of sacks. He was the opposite outside linebacker to Josh Allen. And he is going to be out of the game. So that's a big one there for Kentucky. Also, the guy's their number two kick return guy is going to transfer as well. So that's just a little bit of news on the Citrus Bowl from the Kentucky point of view. But Jordan Jones there, I'd say, if I were to look at their top four defensive players, he would be one of their top four defensive players. Also one of the emotional leaders on that defense, but he will be out of the Citrus Bowl. So with that, we pass it along. Looks like DeAndre Square, a true freshman, and another freshman named Chris Oates. Now, Oates usually plays middle in the inside backer spot. He backs up Cash Daniel, who's a very good inside backer, by the way. But he backs up Cash Daniel, so I think they feel that Square probably will start. Oates would also play in that spot as well. And then also this note. We've had Terry Hutchins on the show before. Have you seen this? From the Indianapolis Star, longtime sports writer who covers Indiana. He's in critical condition after a 3-car crash on Monday night. They found Hutchins slumped over his car. They didn't find a pulse initially. The officer performed CPR on Hutchins before medical personnel arrived and transported him to a community hospital in Indianapolis. Hutchins is just 60. He was unresponsive in intensive care at the local hospital early Tuesday. Sports editor George Bremer said that Tuesday he was shocked by the report of the Hutchins accident. Said Terry is one of the most respected and celebrated sports journalists in the state of Indiana. He certainly is that. The professionalism he brings is unmatched. We've had Terry on the show before. And my goodness, our thoughts and prayers are absolutely with him and his family. I mean, it's just awful. I mean, awful news. Awful news, but he's in critical condition right now in an Indianapolis hospital after that accident.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.